me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
What's going on, man? It's Thursday night, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You know what time it is. It's the Nestorius Public Radio Show. That's right. I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a. the N, the P, and the motherfucking R. You know what I mean? We're here live every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m., as I said. SkidRowStudios.com. If you're not watching us live, check it out once in a while. Come to the website. Check it out. We got live video feed. We're in beautiful, sunny downtown. I mean, shitty, gritty downtown Los Angeles.
Depends on the day. After it rains, it's kind of beautiful.
That's right. That's right.
Kind of cleans up a little.
That's right. That's right. And that's my man, Walter. Walter Reyes.
Hola.
Jesucristo.
Oh.
What's up?
Pretty close. Hey. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
I love coming here. It's tight.
Yeah.
This I like nice. It. I'm wearing a leather jacket, so I feel extra tough today.
That's a good point that you made, that except when it's raining, then it looks nice.
Because, it's beautiful when it rains.
Well, yeah, because
I can't stand the rain.
No, because you know what it is? The shittiness of the gloominess of the rain matches the shittiness of the natural ambience of L.A.
But I'm not talking about during. I'm talking about post-rain.
No.
All of a sudden, it's like,
brains. No, I know. Oh, that's gorgeous. What I'm saying. But I mean, the rain.
Gorgeous.
The rain gives you like a sense of gloominess.
Do you like that? I like that. When it gets a little gloomy and I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm too happy and I'm like, fuck, what can I be sad about? I need to be sad about something. This is the perfect sad weather.
For those of you that don't know, we just had three and a half days of continuous rain here in Southern California, Los Angeles.
It's crazy.
Yeah, which is...
Don't come to California, you'll drown.
Yeah. Pretty much everyone who lives here and they get on the freeways, that's how they feel. They're going to drive. Motherfuckers drive slow,
and then
they hit the brake. Oh, I have, you know, I
everybody becomes Asian when it rains.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody.
It's like Chinese delivery fucking week. It's
right.
Shit. Chinese
right.
food delivery week. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I that's a pet peeve of mine in on the show a lot. I talk about driving and it's so fucking frustrating.
Because we do it so much.
But it's frustrating, you know?
Yeah.
But one of the things, aside from people just being extra cautious, which, you know, in a sense, that's fine. Be extra cautious. You know what I mean? But it's just like, sometimes people just like, they're not driving. They're moping.
I mean, I can't stand. I look around. I'm like, this fuck, I could fit 10 trailers.
Right, in front of them. Right. And then when you're driving, you're doing 70 miles an hour. You got 10 trailers behind mm-hmm. you of space. They
you're
cut you off.
Out.
They cut you off and then you got to...
Slam behind me too.
Yeah. But I realize, I think a lot of times what it is people don't know where they're going. So they get in a car, you know, a lot of people rely on GPSs and just, you know...
And some people don't know north or south if you tell them, go south on 10.
Right. Fuck. But I have a philosophy, man, before you get in the car, before you put the key... in the ignition, you should know where you're going. I'm not talking about like...
I agree.
I'm not saying...
Don't figure it out halfway there.
I'm going downtown. No. Know what your fucking coordinates, what your intersections are.
And what's your longitude and latitude?
Yeah, and where and how the fuck you're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make the rest of us pay for it. You know what I mean?
It's not fair.
So that's pretty much the thing that happens.
Jesus didn't die for that.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Jesus didn't die on the cross for
that
bullshit.
For that shit, people.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. But so it gets a little frustrating, you know.
But
with the advent of GPS and everyone just gets fucking, no one pays attention. Anyway, welcome again to the show, Walter.
Thanks.
How have you been?
Fantabulous.
Yes.
Yes, I really have actually.
Awesome. You look fantabulous.
Good. Thank you.
So what's happening? What you been up to?
Having a good time, really.
Besides having a couple of shock top beers.
Gluck, gluck, gluck,
you
gluck.
Young guys are a bunch of fucking beer fags. When I was growing
what?
Up, yeah.
This is a beer fag. This is raspberry wheat. What? That doesn't make me faggot.
Yo.
Because I like taste.
Yo. I didn't say you were a faggot. I said a beer fag. There's a difference.
Oh,
okay.
My bad. So I'm not sticking the bottle up my ass.
No. I didn't get it. It wasn't sexual. Okay. It was kind of like a rhetorical, you know.
All right.
But what I'm saying is, back in the day when we were drinking Budweiser, Schaefer, Rheingold.
80% of the time.
Rheingold,
80% of the time.
Maybe Heineken.
Bro, 80% of the time, you're going to find a Budweiser in my hand. This was free, and I didn't even ask for it. It just was dropped in my lap.
Or Pabst Blue Ribbon. I mean, you had five
beers.
Right
before Dodger games, I love going to the fucking shortstop. Pap,
That's it. Five beers.
Good.
Now these motherfuckers got, how you feeling? What do you want? A vanilla flavored fucking fuzzy? Like, what the fuck, dude? I don't know about
I'm
you.
I'm waiting for the fuzzy navel.
Dude, when I drank, I wanted to get fucked up. You understand? It wasn't about the flavor, how it tasted, or the fucking label and all this bullshit.
Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah, yeah. Micro brew.
$2? Fucked up.
Ridiculous shit. Yeah. It was, there right. was, yeah.
I like Budweiser, yeah. The king of beers.
So you're doing good. Shock top.
Yeah, Shock Top. I'm writing new shit.
Writing new material.
Yeah. That's why I've been hitting just open mics. I don't know, I haven't promoted shit.
Right.
Because I want to, I actually, we probably know Willie Barcena. Mm-hmm. Did a good show with him.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to vouch for me for an hour special. Fuck it, let's do it.
Cool.
I got to get some stuff. I think I have like 40, 45 strong video type material.
Right.
I need another 15, 20.
Right.
Close it out. You're a pro. I should pick your brain.
I'm a pro.
You're a pro.
You know, I got a love-hate relationship with stand-up comedy. I do it, and then I don't do it.
Where are you at with it right now?
I'm on a hiatus. No, I don't hate it. It's just that, as you know, I don't mind.
Do you mind? I get shit because I leave sometimes. Like, I just want to take a little break. You know, I'm bound for 3-4 months.
Dude, check this out. I'm married. I got a house. I got responsibilities. It's very difficult for me. You know, my wife travels. She's a director. She's gone for 3 weeks at a time. It's very difficult for me to, like, get up and go, which I do frequently already because I got to go to New York, come back here, see her wherever she's at. Otherwise, I'm 3 weeks out without a fight with her. You know what I mean? So, like, she's traveling for 3 weeks. By the time she comes back, I got to get three weeks worth of nutsacking in one fucking shot. I like to spread it out, right?
Like it.
You know what I mean? So what happens is with stand-up is, like, as you know, to make money as a stand-up comedian, you have to hit the road. You have to go on the road.
Well, that's why I have a real job. I can do it on my own shit.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But a lot of comedians that do stand-up and treat it as a profession and they kind of take the dive, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have a real job, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the problem. I don't want to say half of them. A good portion of them are fucking, you know, dope smoking, hanging out. They haven't cleaned their toilet bowl and fucking
mediocre.
But you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about persons, comedians. How are they as comedians? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Nowadays, there's 50 million comedians. I'll take a break for 3 months. 500 new motherfuckers. Seriously.
Yeah,
I haven't been in the circle. I haven't been in the circle, right? Like, when I first started doing comedy out in L.A., I'd be down with the Latino comedians and this and that. I've kind of stepped away from a lot of circles.
That's funny. I've tried to stay away from circles, period.
Well, yeah, I've stayed. And,
no
but
one
I
knows
look,
me as part of any
But I look at Facebook today. And shit, and I see, like, all these motherfuckers, where's this motherfucker coming from? But that's how it is, you know what I mean? It's a very, I don't want to say transient business, but I think that a lot of people who are drawn to stand-up comedy...
There's a lot of tourists.
Well, but also a lot of people who are drawn to stand-up comedy, just really what they need is healthcare, and they need to sit in front of a therapist and just sit down.
Right.
You know, but so stand-up is like their way of getting attention and their way of getting the adrenaline to half, you know, equalize their bipolar, you know, bipolar or ADD. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is saturated with a lot of that crazy shit. Plus, if you're a girl, as you know, you're a female, you're a comedian, they got 80 fucking dudes ogling over you. So you
even if you're fat,
it don't matter. It's just there's so many politics, and granted, there's politics in everything you do, everything. Right? Mm-hmm. Everything. No matter
what.
I'm
trying to stay away from it.
But that's why
we detach each other. I think we detach each other, ourselves from that, from those circles, because that's where the politics exists. And for comedy, I never wanted to be politics.
No. But I'm saying there's politics in everything. Life is political. Yeah. Whether
you could step yourself. You could step away.
Well, yeah. You gotta maneuver your way around life, right? But you have to, like, the there's just a lot of bullshit that you got. What I'm getting at is that there's a lot of politics in everything that you do. Mm-hmm. Whether you want to be a fucking barber, a haircutter, a teacher, whatever it is, there's people that were there before you that, you know, they're not going to want you to go right in and start, you know, getting the best seat in the haircutter and the hair salon.
I wanted to be a barber, but now I want to be a haircutter.
No. they don't want you to take the best seat or the best shifts.
Right.
Because you got to pay your dues, but then there's always exceptions, you know what I mean? So somebody comes in. Anyway, but stand-up comedy as an acting is one of the few businesses or industries that the burden of proof has to be put on you so that before you could even make some money. And when I say make some money, before you start getting paid $25 for a 10-minute set at a comedy club, that's like, you know, you can't survive on that. You got to have a real job. So at what point do you get to in your life where you take that swan dive and you go, I'm going to do this full time? Mm-hmm. You really need to hang out with other guys that are doing it, or girls, or, you know what I mean? So that, because there's a community. You got to connect to the community. It's very difficult, man.
It is.
So it's a solo sport, right? Because you're on stage. No one's going to save you if you bomb. No one's going to, you know, it's you against you against yourself, really, on stage.
You against the world.
And your job is to connect with the audience. How you do that is how successful you'll be or not, right?
Word.
But it's kind of like, if you're not involved with a whole group of people, you lose out in a way, because this guy does a room there, he books over there. You know, it's just the way it is. It's a weird thing. Anyway, that's where I'm at. It's love-hate relationship.
It sounds more like hate right now.
No, it's not hate. I actually went to Seattle. I actually went to Seattle with Simon. I did like four shows. Uh-huh. This is about a month and a half ago. You know, rocked three of them. One of them was like, you know what I mean? But you know, it was great. You know, you get hit. It's like mainlining fucking, you know, cocaine. You're like, what the fuck? How come I haven't done this shit? And fucking, you know, that's how stand-up is. But I mean, the responsibilities sometimes in life take precedence over, you know, that type of shit.
I just don't want to be a struggling artist. Well, I'm tired of that.
Well, that's how it is, man. If you want, you know, the problem with artists is that you, in order to be successful in whatever art form that you're trying to do, you have to understand that business, right? Because, like, for instance, the movie biz, the film business is a business. Although a lot of directors, I mean, I'm in the process of, you know, trying to get a film sold. You know, we produced a film, made whatever.
How come I didn't act in it?
Well, because we didn't have a fucking part for Jesucristo. But next time.
This guy.
Next time.
There's always a part for me.
Next time we'll hook you up.
I'll shave my hair.
Next time we'll hook you up. So what I'm saying is there's the business, right, of acting, business of stand-up comedy. A lot of guys don't understand the business. I mean, perfect example. How many comedians do I know don't even have fucking really good professional clips of their material? How about this? A passport, right?
So you don't have a passport.
So you get to a certain place, and you're like, yo, you want to do a USO tour? Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, 90 days.
I'd like to do it. I'm like, you got a passport? Because you gotta be willing to go out of the country. You got to have a press kit. You got to have headshots. You know, so everyone's wasting their time, not wasting their time, utilizing all their time or spending all their time in camaraderie with other guys, getting sets, getting shows. But then the business aspect.
High school, they're just fucking sword fighting during lunch. Well, not getting anything accomplished.
Well, yeah, that's true. But then the flip side of that is that you have to perform to sharpen your tool. So, you know,
to sword fight better.
Right. I mean, there's only so many Ralphs I can go to that I can make the checkout girl laugh, you know, because I do my jokes wherever. I mean, I think in a fucked up way. So that's, you know what I mean? I don't wait till an open. I hate
that's
open.
That's why I come here, because I'm not the only one that thinks fucked up, and you're always proof of it, and I feel comfortable.
Dude, I hate. Well, of course, that's why we connected, dude, from day one. But I don't like open mics, dude. The worst thing that I could do is stand in front of a bunch of comedians to do my material. I don't understand the point of that. I just don't. You know what I mean?
Some of them don't laugh on purpose.
Well, I just don't understand what that is. I'd rather do stand-up comedy at a cadaver in a funeral, because the energy.
I just came from one.
Well, the energy is going to, it's just weird energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy is about energy.
Fuck, there's some that aren't even open mics and you show up and that's all there is comics.
Yeah, and it becomes real quick.
And I'm like, whoa, man.
Well, it's not a well-promoted show and all that other stuff. But I mean, like, for instance, you do a comedy show in a coffee shop, right? And there's about 6, 7, 8 comedians that are, you know, that are in the lineup. So they're sitting in the audience, and there might be like 4 or 5, you know, straggling coffee guys that have been sitting there. And they, you know, they'll crack up.
And they're like, there was a comedy show today?
Yeah. But I mean, you could use the energy, you know what I mean? Right. And if the energy's good and you bring the energy, then... You know, it's possible to, you know, to rile up the thing. But I just don't like performing in front of comedians solely for comedians, if that makes sense. Just don't see the, I don't see the point of it. You know
what
I mean?
There's no feedback there. There's no genuine feedback, I don't think.
Well, the thing about performing is you're looking at, you're trying to get the timing of your material, right? Your joke. You have a new joke, right? Mm-hmm. So you're trying to sense the timing of it, right?
Right.
How are you going to sense a timing of a joke when you don't have an accurate assessment of
the reaction
and
that's why it's not genuine.
Organic crowd is laughing at whatever it is, right? So for me, I think that I do just as well in conversation with various people that I meet that I don't know.
That's where I get most of my jokes, is shooting the shit with
and
people.
And I just throw shit in there, and then I go, that was funny. So I'll try it again in another conversation somewhere else. It, you know, like you said, that's where a joke comes in. And then I'll
That 90% of my jokes are
and
born
then I
there.
Develop the timing from it.
I'm like, oh, that shit's funny. Let me take a note real quick.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the thing. I don't know
so
how to
So you hate comedy now, is what you're saying.
No, actually, I don't. I actually love comedy. I love comedy. I can't watch comedy for fuck, though. You know what I mean?
Very rare. I don't want to consume myself in it. You know, some people are like, oh, yeah, I got to live and breathe. And I'm not one of those.
I can't watch comedy.
The more distance I have of it, the better and fucking more fun it is to me. And the more excited I get to go perform. That's why I think I step away from the cliques. And the cliques, I mean, some of those people I really get along with. But I still, you know, you guys make it too much. I'm like, I'm going to go do my shit and bounce real quick.
A lot of these dudes, man, you get along with them they get along with you until you get to a point where, you know, there's an opportunity to cock block or to hate on.
And you know what? That's just crazy to me. I came in real sweet to the business thinking, you know, everybody gets along. This is a comedy world. Oh, we're good.
Forget it.
You know? Fucking divas.
Dude.
And that was one of the first things I was told is, you know, you're doing good when the person that used to ask you to work with them stops asking you to work with them. Like, it just all of a sudden stops happening. I'm like, hey, can I? Whatever, we're not working together no more. You know,
it's a lot of bullshit, bro.
It's
a lot of bullshit.
I'm like, what?
It's a lot of bullshit.
And then I realized, I'm doing good now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it's a solo sport. Like I said, you really have to, you know who you are, know what you have. It's hard, man. It's hard. Because stand-up comedy, and of course...
It's hard out there for a clip.
There you go. Anyway, I don't know how we fucking got into
fucking
15 minutes of talking about comedy.
You. That's all you. We got more important shit to talk about.
That's cool. I mean, we brought a little informational type shit to the people, you know what I'm saying, that are stuck
behind
in
the
motherfucking highway all over the world. You know what I mean? With some like cobwebs and wax in your ear. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to blast that shit. We're going to blast your ear holes. You know what I'm saying? We're going to amplify shit so you can like, kapow, open up your motherfucking brain window. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving, belated Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
I was in Palm Springs. Jenny was asking me, Jenny, what's up, mommy?
What's up, Chica?
Jenny's our boarder.
Hi, how are you guys?
Yeah. Once in a while, she'll say what's up or whatever. Jenny's the lovely.
I wanted to point out that you took off your sweater after saying that you were going to be freezing.
You liar. That's how he always gets, though. He always gets all energetic, all pumped up.
Just wanted to make sure you realize that you took off your sweater.
I got a wool Brooklyn hat.
You were bitching about, oh, my God, it's so cold.
I'm going to take off my Brooklyn hat because that shit is hot. Like
look at that. Now you look like a soap opera actor.
Hola. Mira, Raquildo, ¿cómo está?
Aquí está Nestorio.
Socorro. No me joda. socorro! You ever see these fucking Latino fucking actors in soap operas? Jesus Christ, it's fun to watch them
because
they are so overact with. I mean, that's one thing about Latinos having passion, but these motherfuckers put like Miracle Grow on passion. Socorro! No me jodas más! Yo te quiero mucho. Yo te quiero mucho. And there's always some
quiero
shit that goes
on. Aguacate en mi sandwich.
Que más carne ni más carne. Así viene el sandwich. No one knows that line, dude. That's a motherfucking classic
right
Scarface
there.
Line.
You better know it.
Manolo, put that ugly thing back in your mouth. Okay?
Te carisi. I was only kidding.
Let me tell you something, okay? People like you need people like me. So I can point them, so you can point the finger at the bad guy.
The bad guy. I love that fucking shit.
Your womb is so polluted you can't even have my kids.
That's where I learned Cuban.
That's my favorite line. Your womb is so polluted you can't have my kids.
Fly, pelican, fly.
That's your favorite? That's my favorite.
It's like pimping.
Hey, where'd you get that scar? Eating pussy? There's some great lines in that movie. Amazing lines. Yeah. Scarface.
I never trusted him.
Yeah.
I never trusted him.
You know what a hussa is, Frank? A pig that don't fly straight. This is really fucking amazing Scarface lines.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. But that line, Michelle Pfeiffer, I remember she's fucking chilling out in the bathtub, coked the fuck out. And he's coming in, he's high, and he's like, your womb is so polluted, you can't even have my... What kind of line is that?
Fuck you, Tony.
Yeah. You're a fucking cockroach. Anyway. So we were talking about in my head before we actually met today about the crazy shit that's been going on with the,
killing darker people?
Shit? Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's whack.
Well, more importantly, the thing that's really troubling is the Eric Garner grand jury verdict, right?
Yeah, that got choked out.
You saw that video?
I saw the video.
You saw the video back in July.
Day one, dude.
Back in July. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, for those that I'm pretty sure a lot of people have seen the video,
wake the fuck up.
That haven't seen it, but there's a lot of people who listen to the show that are from outside the United States. I will play the clip, but basically, the thing that really, really, really ultimately troubles me is that. So, for instance, even when you have visual proof of wrongdoing, I could break it down, right? So, like Michael Brown case in Ferguson, right? There was no video of what actually happened, right? All we know, right, is that at the end, when he got shot, he had his hands were up, right? That's all
he
you know.
Given up.
That's all you know. And that he had no gun. But you don't really know what he did, right? There's accounts of him going up to the, driver's side of the police car, the squad car. And then, that there was, African-Americans saying, I saw him. There was some struggles. So you don't really know what happened.
Right.
You know what I mean? In the Trayvon Martin case in Florida last year, you know that the kid also, Trayvon, is unarmed, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know anything other than he's unarmed. He suspiciously is in a near or in a gated community or thereabouts.
Right.
And this fucking douchebag calls the police and says, there's a recording of this, so we know this, right?
Right
we know
right,
these are the facts, mm-hmm. right? So he calls the police and tells the police, I have a suspect. He's a neighborhood watch guy. Great. Awesome. Right? Good for you, you fat motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You ping-plong motherfucker. Hijo de la gran puta.
Serious.
Right? So good for you. So calls the police. The police, they tell him, sir, stay in your car. No problem. The motherfucker's armed, right? So now with having a weapon comes responsibility, right?
Right.
Comes cause and effect, right? So if you shoot somebody, right, good, bad, or indifference, you shot somebody, right? Mm-hmm. You have to take responsibility. You understand? No matter what happened, right?
Be held accountable for your actions.
You have to be held accountable. So what we don't know is that, who provoked who. Apparently, what it appeared as if was Trayvon Martin was on the phone, and he was heard saying, oh, this guy's coming after me, no, no, no. You're following him. You're the assaulter in this situation. You're provoking it, right? So the thing that gets me is he shoots the
kid.
His
job was over when he called the cops.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's
you
it.
You already reported it. Walk That's away. It. You're not a fucking cop, That's motherfucker.
It. That's it. You're not stay a cop. Stay the fuck in the car.
That's it.
Right.
Go back in your house, stay on the patio,
do,
whatever
do,
the fuck.
Do you know that as a homeowner, right, mm-hmm. I have, you know, everyone has a right to have a weapon, right?
Right.
In your house.
Right.
You don't need a permit. As long, you know, you need a permit to go into public, to right. carry a permit. Right. In my fucking house, if I want to have a shotgun fucking, you know, packed, I can, right? And if you come into my house or on my property and I shoot you, do you know that the burden of proof is going to be on me, even though it looks like
I... Even though he was in my fucking house?
Sure.
And I never invited him?
Exactly. Exactly. Right? So I'd have to spend my fucking hard-earned money and time
Fuck
going
that.
To court to prove that, you know, all the jerk-off shit, right? Which that should be a cut, but I understand. It could be my uncle. I could set the guy up. I can get somebody drunk. Yada, yada. There's many variables. Trayvon Martin case, the fact that, I can't even remember the guy's name. The
Zimmerman?
Zimmerman, thank you. Thank you. Zimmerman.
I know that fool's
No, no, no.
Name.
I just Zimmerman, Latino and Jewish, right? He was a Jewish Latino dude.
Asshole and asshole.
Well, anyway, so in his case, he didn't even get like manslaughter. Nothing. No charge. Just fucking scot-free, right?
There should be some fucking consequence.
Manslaughter. I'm not saying attempted murder. I'm not saying murder, second degree murder, but manslaughter, dude.
Like, you got to dress up as Chuck E. Cheese for a year at a fucking Chuck E. Cheese. I don't give a fuck, but some sort of consequence.
Yeah, something.
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 Something. Something.
That's what's wrong with these other two cops that got the fuck off.
Well, this thing with Eric Garner, which I'm going to get to, is that this fuck, he shoots the dude, and that's it. He gets away. So you're saying
that's Brown.
I'm talking about Zimmerman and this guy. Yeah. So with Eric Garner, you got this guy Daniel Pantelio, whatever the fuck his name
is. Choke artist.
Dude, I'll play you the clip, man. It's unbelievable. It's unfucking movie. You got this overweight dude, right? Overweight guy. But that's so much to talk about here, right?
That's a lot because he had a lot of. Yo, I'm not causing anything. You don't have to come at me.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the bigger picture, right? So you have African-Americans. You got black people. You got the black community saying, we're tired of it. We're tired of fucking white cops killing our black, you know, men, and you don't have to be held accountable, and you get scot-free.
Yep. Paid leave?
You know, yeah. My thing is, I don't personally believe that these white cops are racist, right? I don't personally believe that, like, we're going to kill all the niggers. Like, if I see a fat black nigger selling cigarettes, I'm going to... I don't think that's the mentality. I think the mentality is we have the power and we do whatever the fuck we want to do, right? To assault and...
So
and
I think it's a combination because you give that power and now you're allowed to just... That one, you know, I'll be honest. I don't know about y'all, speaking for myself, but there's times where I have a little inkling, and it's not for everybody of that race or everybody of
inkling
that type
of
style.
Inkling of what?
You know?
Like there's a black dude and you think, oh,
well,
you
fuck, there's
you mean
a
like
dirty-ass Rasta dude or
Got
anything.
Got
all
it.
Sorts of different,
Got
my
it.
Own people.
Got it.
You fucking dirty-ass
Got
white
it. We
beater.
All do.
You know,
we all have
do.
It.
So I have that just naturally.
Of course.
If I see some fucking dangerous element on
of
the right
course.
Side of the tree, I'm going to walk to the left side unless I'm an idiot.
Of course.
Okay?
Of course.
So now you have the right to not only just feel that, but fucking do something about it.
You
feel
right.
the
You're
right.
Just,
you don't have the right.
Exactly.
But you've
exactly.
been given so many fucking examples
exactly.
that there's not
exactly.
going to be many consequences
exactly.
if you decide to go, you know what? Fuck dreadlocks. Pah!
Well, there's a lot of things that are wrong with the Eric Garner case. A lot of things that are wrong. Number one, it is illegal. It's illegal for New York City Police Department officers to use a chokehold on anyone. It's illegal.
Yeah.
It's illegal. That's black and white. That's not a fucking debate. That's not a question. That's not maybe. It's fucking illegal.
Part of your job description.
Okay, it's
basically.
Illegal. Number two. During the fucking during the police report after the guy was arrested, there was no documentation. There was no mention of the fact that there was a chokehold used.
Oh,
there was a young guy.
Yeah.
There was a young guy that was taking the video. Okay, he's taking the video. I want to play the fucking video, but this is so upsetting. Number three, the medical examiner deemed, okay.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
The report deemed it a homicide, that he was choked, that he was asphyxiated.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
He was asphyxiated. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's just, so with all that, what happens now is that in America, you got racism. You know, you got this racial tension that's going on. Blacks are pissed off because whites, you know, are taking, you know, abusing them. And whites, especially Republican whites and you know, the ones, the haves, mm-hmm. you know, they're tired of being blamed. They're tired of every time something happens in America that deals with black and white, that it's a white person's fault. You know, a lot of white motherfuckers are like, you know, are pro a fucking grand jury fucking decision. They're pro it. I mean, there's this one guy. I'm going to play this video, and then I'm going to play the Eric Garner clip. Let me see if this comes out right.
First of all, the death was tragic, and our hearts have to go out to the Garner family. No. Having said that, I do not believe, I feel strongly that the police officer should not have been indicted. I've been following this case from the start. You had a 350-pound person
Peter King.
Who was resisting arrest. The police were trying to bring him down as quickly as possible. If he had not had asthma and a heart condition and was so obese, almost definitely he would not have died from this. The police had no reason to know that he was in serious condition. I know people are saying that he said 11 times or 7 times.
Hold on a second.
Asshole.
If he wasn't obese... If he wasn't 350 pounds and obese and had asthma, so he's basically blaming the victim here. This is what I'm saying. So this is what I'm saying, right? So it's come to this us against them in a larger fucking point that some motherfuckers can't even own up to the fact that this is all blatantly fucked up. What happened? You see what I'm saying? So it's an overcompensation.
It's insane.
Let me finish what this motherfucker says. First of all, Eric Garner says, you know, he says, I can't breathe. Watch what this fucking douchebag says. By the way, this guy's Republican Peter King of New York, and he's down with fucking some Homeland Security.
He's not down with OPP, I'll tell you.
Well, the fact is, if you can't breathe, you can't talk. And if you've ever seen anyone...
A lot to say. I had to go back to that.
He's a scientist too.
No, he said.
Talk. And if you've ever seen anyone that he was in serious condition, I know people were saying that he said 11 times or 7 times, I can't breathe. Well, the fact is, if you can't breathe, you can't talk. And if you've ever seen anyone locked up resisting arrest, and I've seen it, and it's been white guys.
They called him a liar.
And they're always saying, you're breaking
he's
my arm.
He's fat and a liar.
In,
that's
this.
Why you died.
So police hear that all the time.
So basically, he's saying that Eric Garner was bullshitting, right? When he said, I can't breathe. Really? Really? So he's bullshitting, saying he can't breathe, but yet he dies of asphyxiation.
Right.
But this is very important. All this shit is very important. And then he says, he's going on many times. Then he flips it. Then he goes, many times you see white guys, police see them all the time. You know, they get arrested. You see white guys, they're saying, oh, you broke my arm. You hurt me. You did this to me. So the police are used to this all the time, is what he's saying. So he's trying to say that the police can't automatically react to somebody saying, I can't breathe.
Well, when he's allowing them to assume just based on their previous experiences.
This is the problem I have with this whole thing, that you get a scumbag like this guy, like the fucking district attorney, this fucking douchebag, attorney of Richmond County, New York, which is in Staten Island. He's a fucking douchebag, okay? Because under his fucking watch is why this happened the way it is, okay? Because what happens is, in a court of law, you can fucking dress up and candy coat any fucking thing you want one way or the other, depending on how skilled you are on fucking, you know, pasting cream puff on horse shit.
Right.
You understand? Mm-hmm. It depends. You can take
depending on your PR skills,
dude. You can take visual fucking fact. You could stab me in a court of law in front of fucking a grand jury, and if you have the right fucking district attorney on your side, he can convince
the right sales pitch.
He can convince 23 motherfuckers that I asked for it. Okay? And so that you had no intention, and so you should go free. That's what's fucked up about this. I'm going to play this.
In this case, a chokehold is not illegal. It is against department regulations. But as you look carefully, I don't think it was an intent to put him in a chokehold.
Okay, in
that
this case,
exactly what he fucking went for was a chokehold.
In this case, it is not. In this case, it is not illegal. It is not. It is not Department of Police. He's contradicting himself, right? This is and
he can't do it. But
and
in
he
this
says,
case,
and he says, if you look at
what else was
he says, if
do?
You look at the video, he wasn't intending on choking. Okay, I'm gonna play. I'm gonna play the video, and I'm gonna just tell you something. All you do, obviously, all you're gonna do is be able to hear it. You're not gonna be able to see it, but. The guy, there's a police officer in front of him. This guy's kind of big.
YouTube it. YouTube it, people. YouTube it.
Okay. All right.
Watch this shit.
Hold on.
It's real quick.
Hold on. Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Know what tricks me out? Is I wish, you know what judge should have been on that shit? Is a judge that held Michael Vick accountable for killing dogs. Because if that fucker found... like made him go to jail for dogs or at least go to trial for dogs, I would hope that guy would be more considerate towards a human being.
Jay Guzman.
Fucking crazy.
You could talk.
All right. I'm just saying, it's ridiculous. It makes you think, man, if someone go to jail for abusing dogs, just abusing them, not always killing them, but sometimes killing them and mainly abusing them, and then you go and do a death chokehold on a human being, and you don't even go to trial.
Here's the irony
at
of
all.
This. Here's the irony of this. Right now is a good time for Bill Cosby to admit his guilt because there's so much shit
perfect
that's going
timing.
On, it'll go right underneath the fucking radar. All he's got to do is like, I'll put some pudding in her ass, and then just fucking no one will know.
I'll put some sleepy pills in the pudding.
no one will know. They'll be like, because everyone's so fucking hell-bent on this racial shit. Anyway, let me play this video. It's really...
Cosby, just come out, bro.
It's really disturbing. So let me set up the video. So the guy, he's about, I don't know, he looks huge. And he's overweight, about 300-something pounds. And there's this short...
But he's like, what, 6'3", 6'4"?
Something like that, he's big. I mean,
yeah,
you see
tall,
him
from
the video where the video was shot. You see the kid. Well, I say a kid because he looks like a kid, but the detective, he's telling him.
He's
sir, I don't know what he's telling him, but Eric is getting excited. He's like, man, you're always busting my chops. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone.
I think someone ratted him out for selling cigarettes on something, and I'm like, I don't have anything on me. I'm not selling shit, but you guys always pick on me.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the problem with this. Here's the problem with the video. Somebody... apparently, the accusation is that ethnic local merchants, were complaining that he was selling illegal cigarettes.
Right.
First of all, really? Fucking selling illegal cigarettes? I mean, with all the shit that goes on and gets sold? Really? That's all you got
to
do?
That's hurting their pockets, dog.
Okay, so what's going on? The main problem, I'm going to say, that I have with this video is that... When he's getting huffy, because he is getting huffy, so I could see maybe the police officer getting a little intimidated, because he is getting huffy. He's like, get away from, you know what I mean? I could see that. Two other guys come. You do not see them saying, sir, you're under arrest. Never see that.
No, they go physical right away.
They don't see that. You don't see anything but them fucking lunging at the guy. And the guy in question goes right into a yoke, yokes the motherfucker. Three other dudes pounce on him. He falls to the ground. This is video. I don't understand how a grand jury, I you know what I mean? I don't understand. It makes no fucking sense.
And all I think, I don't know about you, but all I would ask for, go to trial at least. Let some people
fucking
decide.
That's okay. Let me play the clip. I'll play the clip.
Just go to trial.
Just stay here. I just came here.
None of my business. The fight breaker, I stopped. Yes. Don't say you can put it up on me.
And he's crying.
The people that fight is and walk away? Are you serious? I didn't do nothing. Let go.
Then before
that. What am I doing? Take me back for what? I didn't sell anything. I did nothing. We sitting here the whole time. None of our business. What are you talking about?
I watched it.
Who got you to do what? Who got you to sell cigarettes to? To whom?
Not that Richard. There's another guy in the room.
Easy for your heart rate for what? Every time you see me, you want to mess with me. I'm tired of it. It stops today.
This guy right here is forcing me. Trying to lock somebody up for breaking up a fight.
Everybody standing here, they told you I didn't do nothing. I did not sell nothing. Because every time you see me, you want to harass me. You want to stop me. You want to sell a cigarette. I'm minding my business, officer. I'm minding my business. Please just leave me alone. I told you the last time. Please just leave me alone.
Once again, police beating up on people. Back up, right here. Back up and get on that step. Okay, back up.
He said that shit.
All he did was
times.
Break up a fight, and this is what happens for breaking up a fight.
You got six motherfuckers on this guy. The guy who jumped on him and yoked him, not once does he let go of that yoke.
He
has him choked from the moment he jumps on him, and then four other dudes pounce on this motherfucker, drop him to the ground, and they just, it's like, it's unbelievable. It's like, you know what it looks like? Corral a bull.
Yeah.
You know, like you fucking put a lasso over the bull and then four motherfuckers jump on him to take the bull down. It's like, what is this? Are we in fucking Nat Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom?
There's one point there where you know you got you and three other motherfuckers. Like, you don't need to be squeezing that hard on his throat.
Dude, it was.
And it's nonstop.
Dude, at this point, when he's on the floor, they need to get the fuck off him. You know? Anyway, it's just ridiculous, man. This shit is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's fucked up.
Yeah. You know what? I had the rich.
Just go to court at least. Yeah. You wouldn't have these fucking riots.
Daniel.
You could still be racist there and not fucking find him guilty, but at least go to fucking court.
Yeah, this guy.
It'd be way cheaper than the shit you got to clean up after a riot.
Daniel M. Donovan Jr. was the DA on this whole thing. First of all, I Googled Eric Garner grand jury jurors to see what was the jury? Were they blacks? I mean, you're supposed to be tried by a jury of your peers, right? Were they black? Was there at least one
fucking...
What was
the demographic? I'm curious.
Was there at least three fat, black, overweight, asthmatic people that could probably relate to him? Was there any black women? I have no idea because it turns out...
I only know for the brown one, I know that. There was only three black people on that damn jury.
All he says is that it was a jury of people in the community. It doesn't say... Apparently in New York State, a DA is not allowed under law to disclose any information about a grand jury. It's a fucked up. I mean, I could read this whole thing. Yeah. Let me read the second part.
Shit sounds like corrupt right there.
Yeah, regarding comments that I can or cannot make, unlike other jurisdictions that have status that permit a district attorney to disclose specific details regarding what took place during a grand jury proceeding, New York law does not permit a district attorney to engage in such disclosure. Rather, only upon a showing of compelling and particularized need for access can disclosure of grand jury information, limited as it may be made in a public forum. So basically...
New York is shut your fucking mouth.
Well, basically, you know, the information will come out. Like, what was the jury? It'll come out, but it's like
you
right
just
now.
You can't go on the news and say.
It can't come out right now. There has to be a reason why. And eventually, you know, whatever people who are doing a civil lawsuit will petition for the documents. It's public information. It's just that he can't disclose it. Anyway, I just wanted to know so that I could, you know, talk about that. So I can talk about, like, okay, that makes some sense. But at the end of the day, like I said earlier, it comes down to whatever the district attorney, whoever is the prosecuting attorney in a court of law, whatever. If you got the right ingredients to paint fucking Betty Crocker cream puff on any amount of horse shit, you can smother the smell of it, bro.
Right.
And you can sell it at a fucking Girl Scout bakeout, okay?
I want to ask you a question.
Please.
This is something that pops into my head.
Yes, sir.
On a normal day, I don't even think about what side I'm on as far as like black and white.
Right. Ask my question. Go ahead.
Something like this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Being the ethnicity that you are.
The spick that I am?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you feel you land? Immediately.
I'm going to tell you something. Where I land is this, right? I'm a Puerto Rican, okay? My grandmother's black. My grandfather's whiter than fucking a ghost. They're no longer with us. One of my uncles is dark skin. So there's no reason for me to feel prejudiced one way or another.
Okay.
But I can't tell you that I have not, like you said earlier, walked down the street somewhere and seen some black dudes and in my mind said, oh, these motherfuckers are thuggy or whatever. Oh, these fucking guys are up to no good.
Right.
And I think that's part of the problem also, right?
It is.
With America is that America has gotten sensationalized to think that just because a person looks a certain way, whether they be black or white, because let me tell you something. If you see a white supremacist motherfucker, I feel the same way, right?
The other way.
Right.
But I left the strip club because of them.
Right, but those motherfuckers don't usually hang out in open that much, right? Because those motherfuckers usually organize at night, you know what I mean, under fucking, under sheets.
In a warehouse.
You know, under sheets and shit with cut out eyes. But I'm saying, if you're walking down the street and you see something that looks, of course, where I stand with this is how I stated earlier. It's fucking bullshit. The video that you see there should be an open and shut case. I mean, dude, it's clear. Whether your intention was to kill him or not, that's not the issue. The issue is that you're a police officer, right? You're paid with civilian dollars, with tax dollars, for your job.
As is you, Judge.
Right. For your job to uphold the law and to protect, I believe, protect and serve is their motto, right? Yeah. So what you're doing there is you're not protecting, man. You're assaulting. You're becoming an aggressor. The guy wasn't doing anything, number one. Number two, even if he was selling cigarettes, like he's accused of, what is the crime in selling cigarettes? Tell me, what is the crime?
Even if it was, it's not worth fucking choking and arresting and getting
crazy.
What
is the fucking crime? So here's the other thing that's going on, because I've seen videos on YouTube where you see young black kids provoking the police, right? Because you see somebody with a video and they're like, get away from me, officer! Get away from me, officer! So now they make this big fucking thing.
You guys recording this?
So they make this big thing.
If I
and now,
die right here, record
so,
it.
So now police officers in general are going to, you know, they have a hard time. They're put in a predicament where they don't know how to handle shit. So the whole thing's fucked up.
Yeah.
The whole thing's fucked up. But this is a clear-cut case where this should not have happened.
You know, it takes a while for real change to take place, but at least start with giving it a shot to have a legal discussion.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how we at least don't go to trial.
Well, there was a trial. That's the fucked up thing. There's a grand jury trial, and
but wasn't that even just to wasn't well? Is that just the Brown one where they were figuring out if they were gonna go and press charges?
Well, first
because they should have fucking pressed charges at least.
Well, first what they do is they collect the evidence to see if it's worthy of taking this to trial, especially to a grand jury.
Yes. That's my point, though.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Well, here's the other flip side.
It's worth going to trial and figure it out there.
This is a clear-cut case, like we said. Here's something. Charles Barkley
opened fucker.
On the Ferguson verdict. He says,
I used to like you, Barkley.
The true story came out from the grand jury testimony, Barkley said, adding that he was made aware of key forensic evidence and several black witnesses that supported Officer Darren Wilson's story. He also called those who rioted after the decision was announced scumbags. And he said there's no excuse for people to be out there burning down people's businesses, burning down police cars. We have to be really careful with the cops, because if it wasn't for the cops, we would be living in the wild, wild west in our neighborhoods, he said. We can't pick out certain incidentals that don't go our way and act like the cops are all bad. Do you know how bad some of these neighborhoods would be if it wasn't for the cops? So, you know, he went through, he got a lot of heat for saying that, because obviously he's a black man and right. whatever, whatever. And I agree with him on some points, right?
Yeah, me too.
I agree with the fact that there's no reason to start going berserk and looting. You know what I mean? Now, mind you, in the early 90s when I was in New York and the Rodney King verdict came out and Los Angeles went berserk, I thought, fuck yeah, that's what we need. We need people to fucking just go berserk because shit is out of line here, right? But then I'm brought back to the 60s and the civil rights movement when Martin Luther King was leading these nonviolent protests, right? And it takes a lot longer. Like you said, sometimes it takes a lot longer to effectuate change, right? But I think that when you take a nonviolent approach, right? Like if you see some of those civil rights photos or videos where you see the dogs fucking attacking the blacks, they're powerless, right? Or you see a bunch of blacks marching and them being doused with fucking 50,000 pounds per square inch fucking fire hose. Yeah. Or you see these motherfuckers shooting tear gas at them when they're not doing anything. They just want to cross over the fucking bridge, right? Mm-hmm. When you see that, you realize how much of a scumbag really cut and dry these motherfuckers are.
Exactly.
Right? When you start going into innocent businesses, innocent, because they can come up and down your street and start throwing cocktails and, you know, Molotov cocktails into your living room, blow up your house, blow up your business. Really, what are you doing? You know what I mean? And it's almost like taking two steps forward and then eight steps back. You know what I mean? But there's a serious issue going on, and I don't necessarily think that it's just white versus black and black versus white. That shit always gets mishmashed. And then the real issue. Yeah, and then the real issues don't get addressed, which is there's serious police irresponsibility, serious police brutality going on, serious police unaccountability, okay, and double standards.
And there's a dangerous empowerment. There's a huge level of dangerous empowerment. What I mean by that is, like, they start feeling like they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
And that's a bad thing to give. And you think about the demographic of cops, they're fucking young.
Yeah.
A lot of them are young.
Well, just like the age of young of people who went to think about
how much of an asshole you were when you were 22.
Oh, dude, and ignorant and uneducated.
I was fucking stupid.
May I say something?
Please. Sure.
And I know that just because my sister goes into studies of this for her social work masters or whatever, that a lot of times they end up being bullies or people who have been bullies in their past.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like that's kind of the path that they can take because they won't take shit from anyone else at any job, you know?
And that empowers them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
It's a power trip, dude.
So the secret is to start feeding bullies at a young age, you know, gay serum. So by the time they get to be
black gay serum.
So by the time they get to be like 18, 19, they think twice.
Big black dick.
Oh, they think twice. Or they think twice about joining the fucking police force.
I don't know if you want to do that.
No, you don't want to do that. That's Jenny's telling Walter. I don't know if you want to do that. Because Walter was simulating sucking the big fat foam cock.
Someone else put their shit on
here? That's the cover of our microphone.
All the time. Sorry to tell you.
Of our microphones. Well, you got Ginger Lynn, you got vaginas, penises, all sorts of shit go on that. Anyway, it's crazy. You don't want to do that. I don't want to beat a dead horse here. I just think that we as Americans need to step back and, you know, see what our priorities are here, because there's something wrong. You know, and it's not as easy as black and white. There's something wrong. You know what I mean? There's something fucking wrong.
It's just a power trip, man. I mean, when I was 12, me and three of my friends, I think I might have told this story last time, but I was 12, 13 and got rolled up by the cops. And this is four honor students. that were just waiting for one of the students' dad to pick us up and take us home.
Right.
And we got punked.
Yeah. And by the cops.
Swear to fucking God for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah.
Besides, I don't know, we were brown. That's all I can think about, man, because none of us dressed anywhere. Yeah. I was obsessed with flower shirts.
Right.
Back in fucking, you know, early 90s, 92, 93. I'm fucking flowered out with jeans and Reebok pumps.
De La Soul.
Do I look like a thug, motherfucker? You know what I'm saying? You know? Me and my jazz board just waiting my railroad tracks?
Just me, myself, and I.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, you were chilling.
I was just pumping my Reeboks and waiting for my ride.
I get you, I get you, I get you.
And we get punked. We get slammed against a cop car.
Let me tell you how fucked up my priorities are. Okay, I'm going to just end this show with a couple of things, okay? One thing is, do you know what the most viewed video on YouTube is? I'm going to tell you. I'm glad you asked.
Walter Ray's at the Ice House.
No, no.
Justin Bieber's baby.
No, no. Size Gangnam Style.
Oh, yeah, he beat him. I saw that. Because it was Michael Jackson's first. And then it was
1 billion views. And I'm saying this because I read this article.
That's insane.
This is how fucking retarded people are in America. Well, maybe not in America. This is a world thing. Who the fuck knows?
Well, you know what, though? Kids were obsessed with that fucking song.
Okay.
Imagine all the kids with little iPads now and their mom's phone and shit.
This video has been viewed so many times that Google needed to upgrade the video site on its back end to support the fucking demand of it, okay? That's how much. Now, if all those
YouTube had to go doggy style on that.
If all
video.
Those 2.1 billion fucking people came out and stood up or protested peacefully for the unfairness and the shit that's going on in this country, maybe something would happen a lot faster. With that said, I do want to give a big up to all of the people around America that have staged nonviolent protests. New York, Woodland Hills, Westlake, here in LA, all over Chicago, Miami. Big up for putting your shit back in your mouth, man. Big up, man. I'm actually very proud.
Hey, next time you have me back, can we talk about some serious shit?
Yeah. Like the proper way to floss.
And you know what's funny, though? I'm not even going to joke around.
Okay.
Even though this is serious.
Yeah.
All that fucking radiation coming from Japan, that's more serious.
So that means we're all eating it from the sushi.
If you get Pacific Ocean anything, you're eating radiation by this point.
Yeah.
There was already a scientist on the coast a couple months ago, and it's already here.
Okay, so that's going to be your job. So the next time the next time I have you on, you're going to do the research.
I'm going to email you the topics.
Right, you're going to do the research. Let me know, and we'll talk about
that. Let's do it in a month.
In a month. That's a very interesting.
Because I'm fucking obsessed with that shit.
That's a very interesting.
And the only reason I bring this up is because I don't know. This stuff, these outcomes, these verdicts and shit.
Yeah.
I hate being the conspiracy theory motherfucker.
Right.
But look at how much it gets this conversation and dialogue going on this subject, and you ignore all this other shit. Right now, on scientists' fucking radar, that's all that's on their radar.
That's what I'm saying.
That's all that's on the radar.
And what happened to Ebola now?
Ebola?
Because the elections
are over. What's that?
That's it.
Ebola?
It's constant distractions. And I know this is serious.
We got crack-a-hola. That's what we got.
I know this is serious, but I think that's how manipulative they are to ignore us, to keep us stupid.
Even though it's serious, it's still serious.
And it deserves attention.
Here's the deal.
But there's some serious-ass shit going on.
Here's the deal. In America, as the world, I don't want to say just America, societies, but predominantly America, we thrive on sensationalism. So it's this thing, then that thing, then this thing. And what's going on now with the racial shit is that, you know, Ferguson happened. This is not the first time this police officer has been sued on a civil basis twice for choking people or whatever the fuck he did. Not choking
people.
That's
his move.
Well, not choking people. Listen, let me just finish and wrap this up because we got to go. Otherwise, I'll start another whole fucking. I got another article, small article, Jenny. But Jenny's going, no.
I got to write a proposal for school.
I know you do.
Just cheat off your sister.
I know you do. I'll give you the cliff notes, Jenny. But seriously, I am proud. Because I always say the problem with America is that everyone has their head up their asses playing fucking video games, watching Gangnam Style, you know, getting the new iPhone, that when push comes to shove, very few people put their money where their mouth is, meaning doing protests, doing peaceful protests. And I gotta say that after watching some of the videos and reading some of the articles and looking at some of the pictures, there have been an abundance of peaceful protests all over America, especially after this.
You know what's a cool sign, and I overheard some dudes talking about this, is the fact that this the New York guy, the choke guy.
Eric Garner.
Yeah. He, when they protest, normally, without social media, without the attention, all that shit might have stayed in the boroughs. You know, they might have stayed back where the minorities live.
Right.
But because people are starting to care more and want to show how much they care, it's a little vain, but at least you're getting in public's eye. And this shit was brought to fucking, you know, Central Square. You know, it was like brought to downtown. That normally wouldn't happen.
Dude, you have the 110 freeway being stopped. You got the fucking West Side Highway in New York being stopped. You have Grand Central Station, people just like dropping to the, doing peaceful mm-hmm. protests. And you know what that does? That basically tells the authorities, the federal government
The
federal government in this case, that they're not willing to just say, oh, this is fucked up, but this is bullshit and we're not going to have it anymore. And I think that's a
what
really...
What did you think about those St. Louis Ram dudes coming out before the game started?
I saw that, but
that shit is dope.
But I didn't look into it.
On that stage?
That's going to be...
Millions of people?
Yeah, hands up,
and
don't
they come
shoot.
Out as a group? Like, hands bop. Up.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was awesome. And I love that the cops were trying to complain and getting some consequences happening, and the team and the NFL said, nope, they're all right.
Anyway, listen, my man, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for joining me,
thank
Walter
you for
Reyes.
Me. I love coming.
You know what I mean?
In your mouth.
Hold on a second. I want to just end this with this shit right here.
That's right, it's your buddy.
Wow. All you cocklickers in the place to be. You just rock to the beat so viciously. Rock to the beat, 1, 2, and 3. Skiddly beat, dabba dip, bop, hibby, hee. I can't fuck around as good as Simon. Simon can rock that shit.
I was going to say, Simon has some really good rhymes.
Oh, Simon.
And on the spot.
Simon goes, it's where you hit the rhyme. But anyway, it's where you hit the rhyme. Let me lower this shit. Let me lower that shit a little bit.
Hashtag
lower that shit. Anyway, I just want to say thank you so much for joining.
Thank
you for coming. I'll have you again in a month to talk about nuclear sushi. That's
month.
A good topic.
It'll be my
Jenny,
birthday
thank you
month.
So much.
It'll be my birthday
thank
month.
Thank you so much for your love and your patience.
Always
and
a pleasure.
Thank you so much. And thank you guys for tuning in. I know I haven't had an episode up in a couple weeks. It's been Thanksgiving. I've been, you know, rocking
lazy
and rolling, traveling, flying all over the place. I promise
that's
that before...
That's your black side, because it was of all your Hispanic side, you want to not stop working.
Yeah. Before the end of the year... I owe you guys about 3 mixtapes. I know I've been laxing on that shit. I got mixtapes. I got mixtapes. I put mixtapes. Anyway, let's get the fuck out of here.
No, baby,
you know what I'm saying?
Back.
Let's get the fuck out of here. Big the fuck up. Big the fuck up.
Talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage.